You're listening to Capstone News Now on WVUA FM. We're speaking now to Stephen Bunker, an associate professor in the history department here at the University of Alabama. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, a well-known and notorious drug lord in Mexico, was arrested over the weekend. A huge victory for the new administration in Mexico, that of President Peña. Dr. Bunker, you know, a lot of Americans probably have never heard of this man's name before. Why should we be so interested in this development?
Well, you should be interested, and they should be interested in it, because the Sinaloa cartel, which is named after the western coastal state that he grew up in and where his cartel is based, is the largest cartel in Mexico and probably the most influential, and has supply chains and retailing, not just in Mexico, but throughout the United States, especially the Midwest, and as far away as Australia and Europe.
Now, this is an issue that the Mexican authorities and the Mexican government have been fighting for years, and anytime that we see it in American media anyway, there are always these horror stories of heads being cut off and found in the middle of the road or rolled in a nightclub, just these nightmarish scenarios. But in terms of what's going on domestically in Mexico, how much does this affect the day-to-day lives of most Mexicans?
Well, you know, the cartels have been around, not necessarily the ones that are here right that we're talking about now, or that are the players right now. But you know, the cartels have been around in Mexico for decades, but there had always been an agreement pretty well with the PRI, the governing party, that kept general order. The turf was cut up so that there wasn't any conflict. But the reality is that since all this violence began on December 1st, 2006, after Felipe Calderon became president, and then he declared a war on the cartels. And there are a number of reasons for that, I guess. I don't necessarily know all of them, but he did, and that's what led to the conflict that we think of in Mexico. That said, so this has now been running then for almost 8 years, but really it depends on, the violence depends on where you are. It's most pronounced in the north, in the state of Michoacan, and also in the state of Guerrero, where we think of where Acapulco is. But other parts of the country, you don't, the average person would never experience any of this at all.
Right. I mean, 55,000 dead people in the last 6 years since this war on drugs. And President Enrique Peña Nieto, you know, when he took over office in late 2012, it was one of his main platforms that he ran on, was trying to aggressively go after the cartels. What do you think, and you do mention, and other outlets have mentioned it as well, that, you know, the violence in certain areas of Mexico is no different than if you live in New York City and you see of a terrible event that happens in Detroit. It just is a different part of the country, and so I guess a lot of people don't always see those differences.
Well, I would say that the rot, even though the violence may not be there, the rot does corrupt in many other places as well. So that is there, and the level of violence is above and beyond than the Detroit, New York thing. I mean,
sure.
Ciudad Juarez, of course, was considered the most dangerous city in the world for about 2 or 3 years, and so it is slightly different in scale in that sense. But people know that this is taking a major toll on Mexican society, on its institutions. The army has lost a lot of credibility since Felipe Calderon deployed it in the north, because of the fears, well, because the reality of so much corruption in the police forces. So he sent the military, which had a much better reputation, but the military has become, has lost that sterling reputation because of its actions in the north. And so really this is something that is grinding down Mexican society and its institutions almost regardless of where you are.
But what about, and we're speaking to history professor at the university, Stephen Bunker. What about President Peña Nieto? He's not been in office very long, but his impact on this issue has been profound in some ways, and obviously the capture of El Chapo is emblematic of that.
Well, it's definitely a real coup for him and his reputation, but I would be more hesitant in saying that he's really leading the charge. I would like to, before I'd say be lauding him too much, I would like to see some future action because, honestly, the perception of him coming into office and since he has been in office is that actually he's done little to crack down on organized crime. And in fact, the statistics you mentioned, 55,000 dead, well, most people now put it at closer to 70,000. But the Mexican government, since he came into power, is no longer counting drug-related homicides separately. So I think the jury is still out on that. And plus, given the fact that he is seen as part of the an old part of the network of the PRI, which was the one party, created a one party democracy in Mexico essentially from 1921 until 2000. It's often seen as he's part of this group that was seen as actually accommodating with the cartels. So I think we have to wait a little bit before we get too enthusiastic.
One last question for you, Stephen Bunker, our guest here on Capstone News Now. Just kind of try to put it in a little bit of historical context as to what this means, having El Chapo off the streets of Mexico and perhaps maybe signaling a tide change almost, a sea change of sorts in the Mexican drug war.
I wish I could be more or as enthusiastic as you are in this. The cartels have, between the U.S. and Mexican forces, have taken out the top leadership in other cartels like Los Zetas in the Gulf and La Familia and others. Unfortunately, these are organizations that are bigger than the others. In fact, there's the co-cartel leader for Sinaloa is Ismael Zambada Garcia. And he's still around. And really, he's going to just pretty well take over for Guzman. And I don't think we're going to see any change. In fact, if anything, this has caused great concern in Sinaloa, the heartland of the Sinaloa cartel, because it's just seen as opening up more turf wars and reducing the stability that there are. So, you know, this is... It's the idea. I don't think you should see this as cutting the head off the dragon that permanently kills it. Instead, most likely, it's just going to carry on business as usual, unfortunately.